I notice that we're on a space station and not in a spaceship, Latimer. Why is that?
To stop the incessant use of the word spaceship. I understand it has become a condition for some people.
Spaceship!
Exactly, ma'am.
Spaceship!
Oh, no.
I'm so terribly sorry. Why are we in space at all?
It's the best place to be, ma'am.
I don't follow.
Have you read the news lately?
Good point. Well made. One more thing, Latimer. How are any guests going to find us up here?
Don't worry, ma'am. Arrangements have been made.
Now, Latimer, if we're on a space station, there will be airlocks. You must promise not to eject anyone from the airlock.
Not even one, ma'am.
No.
Very good, ma'am.
Tea and Jeopardy with Emma Newman. There's always time for a nice cup of tea and a spot of mild peril. Well, hello there, my lovelies. I do hope you're well and haven't been kept from seeing Doctor Strange by a cruel and unusual work schedule. More seriously, I hope you are safe and have support in the current political climate. I'm Emma Newman, and I'd like to welcome you into my secret tea there for polite conversation, abject geekery, a cheeky bit of cake, and of course, a nice cup of tea. Well, out here in this space station, things are strangely serene. Everything is clean and streamlined and so very futuristic. I can't help but feel this is cheating, though, having run away from Earth for a bit. We'll all have to go back there at some point and face the scary things happening, but perhaps we can enjoy a little bit of tea and cake together before we have to go back.
I'm sorry to disturb you, ma'am, but your guest has arrived. A Mr. John Gwynn.
Ah, splendid. Let's see his calling card.
Actually, ma'am, it's best orated. And I took the liberty of bringing a more appropriate voice with me.
Is that what's in that jar?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is John Henry Gwynn, writer of The Faithful and the Fallen, father to four riotous children, husband to a foxy lady. And I will find no peace and quiet in this life or the next.
Oh, that's splendid. Send him in, Latimer.
I shall start the defrosting process immediately, ma'am.
Eh? No, he's gone. For those of you who don't know, John Gwynn is an epic fantasy writer. John's debut novel, Malice, won the David Gemmell Morningstar Award for Best Newcomer in 2013.
Mr. John Gwynn, ma'am.
Hello, John. Do come and sit down. How are you?
Hi, Emma. I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Would you care for a cup of tea?
I would love a cup of tea. That sounds marvellous.
And how do you take your tea?
Milk and sugar, please. I'm a bit of a commoner, I'm afraid.
How many sugars?
Two, please.
Two. Ah, that's how Peter has his tea. And I was wondering if you would like a slice of Pin's cake to go with it.
Crikey, that sounds delicious.
It is. It's a recipe I found online, which is like a strawberry and lemon buttercream with cucumber essence, would you believe?
Wow.
And it has about, 10,000 calories per cake, so it's bound to be utterly gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as it's got Pim's in it, that'll be fine.
It definitely has Pim's and strawberries soaked in Pim's in it, so there is nothing that, you know, is a problem about this cake whatsoever.
No, I don't think so.
Now, I hope you don't mind the chickens being over there. They won't bother you. You're not allergic to feathers or anything, are you?
No, I have no problem with chickens. I like chickens, actually. My youngest son doesn't. He was chased by one once, and he's a bit scared of chickens now, but the rest of us like them a lot.
Oh, bless him. Oh, well, hopefully he'll have a better experience with a chicken later in life and be able to get over it.
I hope so.
Now, in my invitation, I asked you to bring a curio with you today. What have you decided to bring with you?
Yes, I have a Norse battle helm.
Wow, that's really quite splendid.
I think so. I love it. It was actually, I haven't had it that long. My wife bought it for me just this weekend. at Hurstman Zoo Medieval Festival, and it is very shiny with a nasal guard and eye sockets and a chainmail protector for your neck. Comes in handy.
I was going to say, you know, is your wife telling you something? Is she preparing you for some sort of battle in buying this for you?
Well, actually, she purchased for herself a Viking throwing axe. So there may be a hint in there somewhere here.
There might be a correlational relationship between the two.
Exactly. I'm trying not to sleep.
Is it comfortable to wear?
It's not as bad as you'd think. I bought a cap which you fit on underneath it, which is a quilted cap. So that's quite helpful.
Yeah, yes.
Too bad.
Yeah, a bit of cushioning.
Yes, exactly. A bit of extra cushioning if you're smacked in the head with a hammer or axe, I suppose.
Yes. Oh, it doesn't bear thinking about. Yeah. Oh. Now, we met very, very, very briefly at Fantasy in the Court last year, I think. And when I went to find you online in preparation for taking tea today, I was rather impressed by your author photo. Now, for those who haven't seen it, I should add that it's you sitting on a fur-covered armchair with a huge axe and two dogs. And it's kind of like Conan meets Countryfile. It's incredible. Now, I'd like to ask, is that photograph truly representative of your life, or is it merely aspirational?
Oh, it's hugely aspirational, I'm afraid. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun doing. I dragged my whole family into a field. My eldest son, James, is a dairy farmer. And so he gave us access to his field for an afternoon, and we romped about in medieval garb and swung axes and things like that. It was a lot of fun.
And was that purely for the photo shoot, or was that just because that's what you like to do of an afternoon?
A bit of both, really. I mean, first and foremost for the photo shoot. So it was that time where I was getting prodded by my agent and publishers for an author photo. And I just thought it'd be fun to do something a bit different.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, whose axe was that?
That's my axe. I have a growing collection of axes, actually. I am partial to the odd axe. And that was my first axe, which is a Dane axe.
Marvellous. Online, Stephen Poor asked us to ask you if that axe goes with you everywhere. I'm assuming not everywhere.
No, not quite, no. No, I'd be spending more time in a cell than travelling, I think. Whenever possible.
Now, if someone was to make a John Gwynne cologne, what do you think it would smell of, and how would it be marketed?
Oh, my word. I really don't know where to start with that one.
Would it be musky and exotic, or would it be fruity and light?
I think if anything, it would have a vaguely metallic chainmail scent. Probably a chainmail-y, sweaty, unpleasant aroma, I think.
Maybe the bottle could be an axe.
Now that is a cracking idea. Yeah. Maybe with hints of honey and mead. That might work.
Yeah, just to take the edge off the metallic harshness, maybe.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, this is exactly what it's like in perfume marketing companies the world over. So if in years and years to come, there was one possession that you could choose to be the key exhibit in a museum about your life, what would it be and why?
Oh, my word. We could go with my double bass.
Ooh.
I have a double bass which hasn't seen a lot of action lately, but it's leaning on the wall in my bedroom. I used to play double bass quite a lot, rock and roll and some blues and that kind of thing, swing, jazz.
Were you in a band?
I was, yeah. I don't know if you'd quite call us a band, but we've made a lot of noise anyway. Yeah.
Was that just a hobby, or was it semi-professional or professional?
Both. So, I mean, when I say professional, we did it for a job for a few years. This is going back a very long time, but it wasn't like we actually got paid a lot. We lived in the back of a van off of Pot Noodle. But we did manage to stay alive for a couple of years on the kind of the smallest university circuits and that kind of thing. It was a lot of fun back when I had hair.
Is there anything about that life that you would like to go back to?
Well, I love the music. I love jive, anything vintage really, for 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I love that whole era. And my wife and I occasionally spotted jiving. So, yeah, we'd still do a bit of that. That's great fun.
Yeah, incredibly energetic form of dance as well.
It is, yes, yeah, which is a heart attack inducing at the moment. My state of fitness, I'm afraid, but yes, it's good fun. It's good for your fitness and health levels as well.
Yeah, whenever we have somebody in for tea, and we get, obviously not everybody can come to tea. Not we couldn't fit everybody who listens to the podcast into the spaceship, so we always ask if there's any questions that people would like to ask if they were able, and we had quite a few. We can't ask all of them because otherwise we'll be here all evening, but I'd like to ask you a couple. And the first is from Jonathan Ashman.
Okay.
And he asked, if you were able to write historical fiction, which period would you like to write in?
Oh, that's a great question. Thanks, Jonathan. No, I would definitely do something in the period of Attila the Hun, fall of the Roman Empire, something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've been using that as research for a fantasy series, and it's a really fascinating period, I think, that's not really had a lot of attention in the historical novels. You get a lot of medieval stuff, you get a lot of Roman stuff, but it's kind of a period in between where Rome was collapsing, and yeah, it's really fascinating. Definitely Attila the Hun, something around that, with maybe some of the Volsung saga thrown in.
So what is it about the Attila the Hun stuff that is appealing? Am I right in thinking that that's when the stirrup was invented and it changed warfare, or had that already happened?
Well, actually, I wouldn't want to claim to know that. I'm not certain when stirrups came in. I'm sure they were using some form of stirrup actually, but I'm not sure how advanced it was. There's just a lot of turmoil in Europe around that time. I think it'd be a great period to explore, and there is lots of deals and double crossings, and Attila the Hun was attacking the Romans at one point, and then he was working for them, and then he was attacking them again, and so I think it's quite a dramatic era that I'd love to explore.
And do you think you will, or do you think you will just kind of use it as inspiration in fantasy? Do you think you'll always stay in fantasy?
Oh, probably, yes. I mean, I love history, I love ancient history, but I wouldn't really consider myself knowledgeable enough to be able to really pull off a historical novel with that level of detail that you need.
It's really intimidating, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's just so much information that you've got to have in there. So I'd rather just plunder it a little and then add some dragons and things like that, I think.
Everything's better with dragons.
Definitely, yep.
Except perhaps afternoon tea.
Well, if that afternoon tea involves Pim's cake, absolutely.
Another question that came in, and I'm going to completely ignore Mark Lawrence's question because it's an evil maths one, and I would never, ever do that to a guest in the tea lair. That's just horrible.
Well, Mark Lawrence is an evil mathematician, I believe, so I'm not surprised at that.
So the other question I'd like to ask you was sent in by Kareem Mahfouz, and he said, having finished the Faithful and the Fallen series, has the story turned out as you imagined? And if this is the case or isn't the case, are you happy or surprised with the outcome?
Crikey. Yes and no. I mean, I never really mapped out the series in huge detail, but I had kind of key events all along the way. So I always knew it was going to end with a very big battle. Mm-hmm. And that's happened. But a lot of the twists and turns along the way have just happened just through the writing, his characters kind of form in my mind. They start off a little bit patchy and vague, but as you I've gone through the series, they firm up a little and they start making decisions that I didn't think they would do initially. So the story does kind of go off in different directions than I first imagined. Mm-hmm. So yes and no. I'm over the moon to have finished it. I've been writing it since I first had the idea back in 2002. So it's been a long time going, and it feels really strange to suddenly have finished. Quite bizarre.
So are you kind of hankering for the next thing to work on, or are you glad to have the mental freedom again?
Well, actually, I've just ploughed straight into the next series. That was the deadline that I was speaking about earlier. And so I've just finished book one of the new series just a few weeks ago now.
Excellent. Feels good, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's really nice. I'm in a position now where I've written two books that haven't been published yet, which feels quite strange.
Yes.
Usually I'm at the doorstep of publication, so I'm stretching deadlines and just handing in at the 11th hour. So yeah, it's nice to have two ready to go.
Something I'd like to ask my guests when they come into the tea there is what the theme tune of your life would be. And the reason is because the chickens over there that have seemed perfectly normal and innocuous so far are actually incredibly talented chickens that can sing. And the thing I like to do is to ask my guest for the theme tune of their life so that we can ask the chickens to sing it for you. So what would yours be?
Oh, well, that would have to be We Will Rock You by Queen.
Oh, marvellous! Yay! I love Queen. So is that just, is it something which symbolises something particular in your life, or do you just really love it because it's a great, great song?
Well, there's that, definitely. I've always loved Queen and that song in particular. And actually, at the medieval festival we were at last weekend, they played We Will Rock You as the jousters galloped onto the field, and I thought, what a great way to come on to a jousting field. So I think all those reasons combined, really great.
Marvellous. Excellent. Okay then, little chickens, please could you sing Queen's We Will Rock You for John, please? There they go.
Well, that is quite marvellous. I can't believe that chickens can get around We Will Rock You in such a terrific manner.
They are quite remarkable.
Very talented indeed.
Now, you've mentioned that you've just finished the first novel in your next series, but am I right in thinking that the final novel in the Faithful and the Fallen series is yet to come out, that it comes out in December, is that right?
It's out in the UK in November and December in the United States, December the 6th.
And that's called Wrath, is it?
That's right, yes it is, yep.
Fantastic. So is there anything else other than the end of that series that is on the horizon for your fans and readers?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've just finished book one of a new series, a new trilogy, which is provisionally titled Dread, book one of Blood and Bone. And I don't have a publication date for that yet, but it's whisked off to my editors, so they'll be getting their red pen out as we speak, I imagine. So that's for next year.
Great, fantastic. So when people read the end of this current series, they don't have to be despondent for too long. There will be more to come.
Absolutely, yep. And the new series is set in the same world, but a significant period of time further on, about 100-150 years later on.
Excellent. So let me just check the teapot. Oh, I'm afraid the teapot is empty. So all that leaves me to do is to thank you for taking the time to come and join me for tea today, especially at such a distance from where you're normally writing and working. So I appreciate that.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
So if you just follow Latimer, he'll make sure that you go out of the correct airlock to go to the shuttle, and we'll make sure that you get back home safely. So hopefully I will have a chance to meet you more properly at another Fantasy in the Court at some point in the future.
That would be wonderful. Marvellous.
Lovely. Well, take care now. Have a safe journey home.
Bye-bye, Emma.
Bye.
Lead on, Latimer.
This way, sir. Ah, the old airlock routine. It never gets old.
Latimer, is that John Gwynn being sucked out into space? Because it had better not be.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
You ejected him from the airlock, didn't you?
It would appear so, ma'am.
You promised you wouldn't do this.
I confess, I have a weakness for airlocks.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Cup of tea, ma'am?
Latimer!
If it's any consolation, ma'am, he seems quite happy out there.
Are you sure that isn't oxygen deprivation? Oh, hang on a minute, what's he got there? A Norse battle helm? Well, that's not going to be much use.
I'm afraid it will. It appears to have been fitted with a vacuum seal, its own oxygen supply, and mini-jet propulsion.
Like a cyber Viking, but without mead?
Actually, the helm contains a drip feed of mead.
A drip feed of mead? I must get one of those. It's like its own miniature...
Please don't say spaceship, ma'am.
Spaceship! Actually, I was going to say that it's like its own miniature life support system. But he's still a long way from home.
It's all right, ma'am. I can see an astral longship making its way over now.
Are space Vikings a thing, then?
Oh, they're all the rage, ma'am.
Longship! Doesn't quite have the same ring, does it, Latimer?
No, ma'am.
While Latimer clears up the tea things, I'm just going to step into this other room, out of earshot, to mention that my latest novel, After Atlas, is now on sale. It's sci-fi crime, set in the same universe as Planetfall, but it's a standalone, so you don't have to have read that first. You can find out more on my website at enewman.co.uk.
You weren't promoting anything in there, were you, ma'am?
No, just getting the names of the Bless Poppets who have recently become patrons. I'd like to raise my teacup to Rennie Christopher and Aoife Saltmarsh, the most recent members of the Order of the Sacred Teacup. Should you wish to join the esteemed order, go to www.patreon.com/teaandjeopardy. Find me a new tea there, would you, Latimer? Somewhere with a little more atmosphere, I think.
Very good, ma'am.
You've just listened to an episode of Tea and Jeopardy, hosted by Emma Newman and co-written with Peter Newman. Go to www.teaandjeopardy.com to find previous episodes and www.patreon.com/teaandjeopardy to become a Bless Poppet.